Okay, so let's go to the second reading of Parshas Va'era, and there seems to be a bit of a tangent. We're on a roll. We had a story going. Moshe Rabbeinu gets tapped to be the Redeemer. He's not really happy with his job. He goes, he tries, and he seems to fail. He comes back to God with tremendous frustration, and he's even unhappier than when he started. And God says to him, you wait and see. And the Parsha opens with God reassuring Moshe Rabbeinu, telling him that in the end, it's going to be just fine, and you have a mission. March forward. And in the second reading, chapter 6, verse 14, the Torah seems to diverge from the storyline. Instead, we hear about the lineage of Moshe and Aaron. Truth be told, though, that's because the lineage of Moshe and Aaron are very important contributing factors to who they were and who they became. So why do we start from the beginning of the Jewish people? No, let's take a look. Elu Rashi Beis Havesim. These are literally the heads of the paternal clans. Beis Bnei Ruvain, children of Ruvain, Becher Yisrael, who is the eldest of Israel, also known as Jacob. Chanoich Ufalu, Chertzen Becharmi. These are Elu Mishpacheis Ruvain. These are the families of Ruvain. Obviously, these are the names of his children, but ultimately the names of the families. Rashi says, Elu Roshe Beis Avesam. These are the heads of the paternal clans. So what is the purpose here? The main thing, the main focus, is to trace the lineage, the pedigree of Moshe V'Aaron. However, Mitech Shehuzkak Liaches Shivte Shalevi, since we will go and mention the birth of Levi, and then the families of Levi. And that's in order, Ad Moshe V'Aaron, so that we would reach the story, the narrative of Moshe V'Aaron, Hischil. So therefore, the Torah began, Liyachsam Derech Tel Deisam. So we started from the beginning. In the beginning, there was Reuven, and there was Shimon, and there was Levi. All the way to, and then we get to Levi, we talk about Levi's family. And we trace it down to Moshe V'Aaron. So this is the simple, straightforward reason. However, Rashi himself is not really satisfied with this. And he says, there's got to be a better reason for the Torah, including Reuven and Shimon, when we get to Levi, till we get to Levi. And so in the parentheses, there's an addition, which we think is also from Rashi, although we're not sure. Upsikto Gedela Reisi, in the tome known as Psikto Gedela, Rashi says, there I saw that the reason, the subtext or sub-reason for Moshe V'Aaron's lineage being traced first with the mention of Reuven and Shimon is Lefisha Kinturam, Yankiv Avinu, because when we read of Yaakov Avinu's deathbed instructions and his blessings to the tribes, and even though we conclude in saying that he blessed all of them, but we don't see it overtly in the scripture, and Yaakov seems only to have criticized Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So therefore, the Torah has an opportunity now, Chazra Kosov, the scripture returns, V'yichasam kan levadam, and gives them their own special lineage, as if their own special attention and prominence, Loimar, as if to say and broadcast, Shechashuvim heim, that they are indeed extremely important. Now we will see that the notion of articulating Moshe V'Aaron's lineage is in order to highlight their place amongst the descendants of Jacob, but we were also going to be emphasizing specifically whose children they were, and we'll see why that's important. Moving right along, I think I should tell you that Rashi has this opinion as to why we say Eli Roshe Beis Avesam. However, there are other interpretations. For example, Ramban says, what would be the logic of saying, okay, Jacob and then Levi? And then it seems as if Levi is like the firstborn or something, like the other ones don't count. So it's not only that we're just including them, it's not like demoting them. The Ur HaChaim says, whenever you're going to have a king appointed, there's always pedigree being traced, lineage that's being established. And this is because we are who we come from. And because Moshe Rabbeinu is a melech hoya, says Ur HaChaim, that's why it was important that his lineage should actually be traced. Uvnei Shimon. From Reuven we go on to Shimon. His children were Yemuel, V'yamin, V'oihad, V'yachin, V'tzoychar, V'shol ben Achnanis. Eila Mishpacheis Shimon. These are the families of Shimon. Okay, now we've arrived. The Elo Shmois Bnei Levi. And these are the names of the children of Levi. L'tel Doisam. Here the Torah adds the word, by their birth. We didn't see this earlier. emphasizing L'tel Dersim. There's Gershon, there is Kohos, and there is Merari. And now the Torah does something it didn't do about Shimon HaLevi. Ushnei Chaye Levi, the years of Levi are Sheva Ushaloshim, Uma'as Shana, 137 years were the days of his terrestrial life. Many questions have to be answered here. First of all, why does it say L'tel Dersim? So Rashi doesn't deal with this. I guess Rashi doesn't feel that it merits an answer necessarily in Pshuta Shel Mikra. But the Ramban says, this word emphasizes that the reason for all of these verses was to trace the lineage, the pedigree of Moshe and Aaron. So here it's where we're talking about Tol Dosam. It wasn't important. We weren't tracing the lineage or pedigree or children or offspring or progeny of Reuven and Shimon. We are going to be doing that with Levi. That was the purpose of these verses. So it's self-understood why the word L'tel Dosam should show up. Ramban further adds that these are the children of Levi L'tel Dosam because all of the children of Levi, he says, were Chasidei Elyon, supernally pious individuals. They were not simply the children of their fathers, but they all had merit on their own. And of course, we know that the children of Israel, or the children of the Shvatim, slowly assimilated, and they melted into the background of Egyptian life. Not so the tribe of Levi. Levi's children remained righteous. They remained committed, devoted, never forgot who they were, and continued to study Torah, holding the banner of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob aloft. And so Ramban says, therefore, there's an emphasis on L'tel Dosam because of who they were and who they became. Now, why do we talk about the years of Levi? We didn't talk about how long Reuven lived. I don't even know how long he lived. We don't know how long Shimon lived, but we know how long Levi lived. So Rashi asked this question. Loma nimnu shnoisav shel Levi. Why were Levi's years enumerated? And Rashi answers, L'haydia, this is to tell you, Kama Yemei HaShibud, so that we might know how many years was the actual bondage and slavery. How would you know that from Levi's years? Well, I'll tell you how we know. Because,
nothing happened till the
exactly. How do you know that? Because you learned it.
It said previously.
Shakai, how did it know that? Shakol Zman She'echad Min HaShvatim Kayam, as long as one of the tribes, one of the sons of Yaakov is alive, L'Hoya Shibud. There could be no Shibud. There was no subjugation. So therefore, it's important for us to know. Shenemar, how do we know this? Because it says it right in the beginning of the book. Shenemar vayomos Yosef. Yosef passed on. V'chol Echov. And all of his brothers. And then only it says, v'chakach v'yokim elachadosh. Only later do we hear of the new king who rises and makes believe he never heard of Joseph and doesn't know about the contribution of the Hebrews, of the Jewish people. The Levi. So why Levi? Because he was Herech Yomim Malkulim. He lived longer than anybody else. And therefore we know that when Levi passes, the Egyptian bondage and slavery begins. Verse 18. Uvnei Kohos, the children of Kohos. Amram, v'yitzar, v'chevrein, v'uziel. Ushnei Chaye Kohos, and the years of Kohos. Shalosh u'shloshim u'me'as shana. He lives a mere 133 years old. And then he passes on. So why do we have the years of Kohos? According to Ibn Ezra, that's just to honor his children. Their grandfather's years are listed. His years should be listed too. Let's see what Rashi says. Rashi follows the same approach. He says, V'shnei chai Kohos. And then we're going to hear about Shnei chai Amram. So Ibn Ezra says, of course, that's to honor Moshe V'Aaron. Rashi says, no. It's all part of the same approach. We needed to know how long Levi lived so that we could properly gauge the story and know the history. Well, the same thing is true with the years of Kohos and of Amram. Ask me why. Why? Why do we have to know the years of Kohos and Amram to know the years of the bondage? You want to tell me we need to know Levi's years because the bondage, the slavery doesn't begin until Levi passes. All right, I understand that. Why do we need to know the years of Kohos and Amram? Says Rashi, from this calculation, onu limidum, we learn, or limidim, pardon me, al Moshav b'nei Yisrael, we're able to learn about the settlement of the Jewish people, that it's clearly stated in the scripture that God tells Abraham, Arba Me'as Shana, that there will be 400 years, Sha'amar HaKosov, that the Pasuk speaks about in Bris Ben Absalom in the covenant of the parts, Shaloi Be'eretz Mitzrayim Levada Hayu, that we know they couldn't have been only in the land of Mitzrayim. So what do you mean? So it is written, so it must be. If God told Abraham 400 years, it must be 400 years. So, well, that can't be. How do you know it can't be? Rashi says, make the simple calculation. It has to be somehow otherwise. There has to be another meaning to those words. And the other meaning is, Miyayim Shanelad Yitzchak. That it all begins from the day Yitzchak is born. Already there's a Ger Yezaracha. The Jewish people, the Hebrews, the family, the patriarchs, they were never settled. They were never settled. Until they came home to Israel, they were never settled. They were always on the move. How do we know this? So Rashi says, well, make a simple calculation. Kehos, the son of Levi, is Miyerdi Mitzrayim Hayu. He is one of those who came down into Egypt. How do we know this? Because the Torah lists 70 souls, and Kehos is one of those souls. So we know he came down to Egypt. Now, Chashev Kol Shnoisav, take all the years of Kehos, and how many are they? 133. And then take the years of Shnois Amram, the years of Amram, which we're going to learn are 137. So 133, 137, thank God we have an accountant there.
270.
Now the years of Moshe, when he leaves Mitzrayim, when he leads the Jewish people out, Torah 80. Clearly says 80. Ushmeinim shel Moshe, 80 of Moshe. So loy simtzayim abar me'as shana, you still don't have 400 years. Because if you take the years of Kehos, who goes down into Mitzrayim, and Amram, and Moshe, 133, 137, plus 80, 350. Many of the years, they lived together in the same world. It's not like one died, then the other one was born. So all the years of one of the tribes, one of the members of Yaakov's family comes down into Mitzrayim with his children, with his grandchildren, comes only to 350. So it's impossible to say that they were actually living in Mitzrayim 400 years. Okay, so if it's impossible to say that, what must we say? We must find another explanation. And indeed we do. This is called common logic. But the Torah had to tell this to us, otherwise we wouldn't know. You would have some fundamentalist who would say, no, it says 400 years, that's how it has to be. So yeah, this doesn't work. How do you know? The scripture tells me. Do your math. Verse 19, Ubnei Merari, the children of Merari are Machli Umushi. Funny, I don't know anybody named that today. Eila Mishpaches HaLevi, these are the children of Levi, Lissel Daisam. Emphasis once again here on their birth. For all special people, like we learned. All holy Levim. Vayikach Amram Mesicheva Didasai. All of a sudden, now we're hearing about the female side of the family. So up until now, we only hear about the males. Now we're hearing about Amram taking his aunt, Yecheved. Loi Isha as a wife, Vatelet Loi, and she gives birth for him, to him, as Aaron, yes, Moshe, Aaron and Moshe. Vishnei Chai Amram, and the years of Amram, Arsheva, Shleshim Asran, 137 years, but this we know exactly why it says it already. Rashi doesn't have to say it a second time. And then we hear about the details of the other families of Levi. Uvnei Yitzar, Kodef and Nefek Vizichri. Uvnei Oziel, Mishoel, El Tzofon, Vesisri. And then we hear about Moshe v'Aaron now. Vayikach Aharnes Elisheva, Bas Aminadav. Aaron married Elisheva. She was the daughter of a man named Aminadav. Who's he? Ah, so you should know that if you want to know who Aminadav is, we should know there's a very famous Jew whose name is Nachshon. And Nachshon, this Elisheva is Achos Nachshon. She is the sister of Nachshon. And this is Loi Leisha, she took him as a wife, Atelet Loi. She gave birth to him as Nadav. Yes, Avihu. That's Allah's obviously someone. Then going back from the sudden mention of who married who and how they had children, we go back to the family of Levi. More male names: Ubnei Kerach, Asir, Velkona, Ve'Avi Yosef. Elu Mishpaches Akarchi. Ve'Elazar ben Aaron, Lokach Loi Mibneis Putiel. He took a wife from the children of Putiel. Loi Leisha, that was his wife. Vatelud Loi, she gave birth to Pinchas. Eila Roshei Oveis Halvim LeMishpachesim. These are the heads of the families for the Levites, the Levite clans. So now we know we have primarily paternal Levite clans identified and other clans of Reuven and Shimon. We do not have a mention, as a rule, of the woman in the family, with three big exceptions. We hear about who Yecheved married. We hear about who Aaron married, and we hear about who Elazar ben Aaron married. What is going on here? There seems to be no rhyme or reason to this enumeration or this tracing of lineage. That has nothing to do with, okay, you want to tell me you need to know who Amram married? I understand, because you want to know who Moshe's mother was. But again, pedigree doesn't work that way. We don't have any of the women before. We don't know what a Levi's wife's name is. Why do we know suddenly what Amram's wife's name is? And then the Torah suddenly goes off on this tangent, talks about Aaron's marriage. And who was Elisheva? And she was the daughter of Aminadav. Okay, that's good enough. No, Achais Nachshon, the sister of Nachshon. L'may nafkamina. What difference does this make? And then we have to go to Elazar ben Aaron. You want to tell me the whole time we're being miyachas, Moshe v'Aaron?
Shadowing the future events. It's going
to fall. What does that? Well, there's like no rhyme and reason here. There has to be some kind of purpose, some kind of a system. What do they call it? A reason to the madness or something? This is like haphazard. And when it came to enumerating years, some years yes, some years no, we said there's a reason. There's a reason. That's history. We have to establish the facts. How long were the Jewish people in Mitzrayim? So this is a very difficult verse to crunch on. Very hard to swallow. What is going on here? Lucky for us, the Rebbe spoke about it. And he gave us an amazing explanation. And it all goes back to that proverbial question, who made Moses? Who made Moses? Okay. Page Kuf Chavav. Kuf Chavav. Simen Ches. Yesh Lishoel. There is an obvious question that begs to be asked. Hare Hayichus Bi Yisrael Nikva Al Pi Ha'av. You are Jewish because your mother is Jewish. You are a Kohen or Levi or Israel because of who your father is. Pedigree, lineage follows the father. Being Jewish follows the mother. That's the way it is. V'lochein. Therefore, the Torah generally does not, when it discusses lineage, when it traces lineage, it does not specifically trace the lineage mitzadaim from the mother. No Jewish mother, no Jewish, period. There was a famous, I think, Secretary of State or something, or Undersecretary of State, named William Cohen, at some point during the Clinton years. He was not Jewish. His name is Cohen. He's not Jewish. How is he not Jewish? Because his mother wasn't Jewish. Simple as that. Whoopi Goldberg's not Jewish either. I don't know that her father's Jewish. Just because you have a Jewish name or a Jewish last name doesn't make you Jewish. And just because your father's Jewish doesn't make you Jewish. There was a famous Toronto scientist named Skoretsky who discovered the Cohen gene. All Cohenim have this gene. So you can't prove kahuna because maybe your mother's not Jewish. You wouldn't be Jewish altogether. Or she's a divorcee. You would have the gene. You wouldn't be Jewish. You wouldn't be a Kohen. But you can, would seem, prove if somebody isn't a Kohen. Because if every single Kohen in the world, black Kohenim, blue Kohenim, green Kohenim, yellow Kohenim, any place in the world, if you said your name is Kohen, they showed the gene showed up. And it's only transmitted through the male gene. So we know who's a Kohen. We know who could be a Kohen. If you don't have this gene and you think you're a Kohen, you may think again. I don't know if this is halachic, because the truth is nobody really knows for sure today. The point I'm trying to make is that lineage follows the father. Being Jewish follows the mother. That's how it is. That's the way Torah Judaism works. So why does the Torah talk about in a parsha, which is about lineage? Nobody questions if Moshe and Aaron are Jewish. It's wonder who they are. A king is rising in Israel. Where does he come from? So if you're talking pedigree and lineage, l'lamdeinu heich nelda Moshe v'Aaron u'beminis yachsu. These are the actual words of Rashi we just read prior. We want to know, how did Moshe v'Aaron get there? Who did they come from? What is their pedigree? What is their lineage? And all of a sudden, in the midst of this discussion of pedigree and lineage, where it is the male factor that seems to be of overriding importance, Shalosh Shimois Elu, three mothers show up. We hear about Yocheved, the mother of Moshe v'Aaron. We hear about Elisheva, who is the mother of Aaron's children. And we hear about the wife of Elisheva. We don't even know her name. But we know she's from Bnei Putiel. Who's Putiel? That's another discussion. That's not even so simple. We don't know her name. We don't even know her father's name. We don't know where she's from. We know she's from the daughter of Putiel. And Putiel is a description of somebody's behavior. What in heaven gives? The Yesh Levayres HaTam L'Kach. So the Rebbe says there is an amazing explanation here. And you got to look in the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban because they kind of talk about this a little too. But this is the way the Rebbe put it. Amnam, indeed, B'derech klal ha'yichus ha'kavua mitzad ha'av. The notion of pedigree, permanently speaking, comes from the father. Your father's a Kohen, you're a Kohen, your mother's a Kohen, you're not a Kohen. End of story. However, when we talk about Moses, who made Moses? Who wrought the Redeemer? Sheina hadavar. Things are different. The mikra kazeh, in this kind of circumstance, we need to know who his mother is too. Ask me why.
Why, Rabbi?
I'll tell you why. Because, Nathan, this being the son of a great Rebbe doesn't make you a Rebbe. Or being the son-in-law of a great Rebbe doesn't make you a Rebbe. You don't become a great leader, a Rebbe of the Jewish people, because you have fancy pedigree. Maybe you could be a Kohen. Maybe if there's no better Kohen Gadol, you could be a Kohen Gadol. A Rebbe is not a Rebbe because of who his mother is or who his father is only. You don't get it by accident. You get it because of who you are. So for Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not just a question of pedigree. For Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a question of who raised this child? How did he become who he became? That's what we want to know. Shekein, gam ha'eim toiremes es chelka. The mother gives an equally important contribution. La'ayfiyim l'tchunosayim shel yiladeha. You want to know who somebody is? Look at his or her parents. You'll know who they are. The parents make you. That's who makes you. That's who gets the credit. If somebody was raised right, they turn out okay. That doesn't mean that all good people who have children have great children. There are plenty of good men and women who raise children, do their best, and don't have mazel. Even the Sefer Torah of the Heichel, I'll explain that some other time, needs mazel. Everything needs mazel too. But ultimately, to say that somebody turned out fantastic when he had horrible parents, it happens, but it's very uncommon. And typically, great people, were raised by extraordinary great people. So Moshe Rabbeinu was very great indeed, because he had a great father and a great mother, because he was raised by unique people. So, fine, I get that. So you want to tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu needs to be highlighted. Why? Because you have to know, how did Moshe Rabbeinu become Moshe Rabbeinu? You know how? Because he was born and raised in an environment of dedication to the ideals and of Yiddishkeit and bravery for those ideals. It was Yocheved who fearlessly defied the Pharaoh's order to murder all the Jewish babies. And she could have paid with her life. It was Amram who remarried Yocheved because they were humble enough to listen to the precocious little daughter named Miriam. These are not ordinary people. So we're talking here about people who we could see that they're unique people. The Torah begins with the story of the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, describing her bravery to you, telling you how she raised a daughter who was so brave. So now we know who Moshe Rabbeinu, who he is, where he comes from. He said, okay, what does that have to do with Aaron's wife? What does that have to do with Elazar's wife? So the Rebbe says something very interesting. Do you know why we hear about Elisheva? Because Elisheva is the mother of Elazar ben Aaron. So okay, that's nice. So what? Why do we have to hear about the wife of Elazar? Because she's the mother of Pinchas. Do you know what's unique about Elazar and Pinchas? Unparalleled, there are many tzaddikim in the Torah, but there's nobody else in the generation like Elazar and Pinchas. Shnayim Elo, these two, Elazar and Pinchas, milu behizdam neyoshoynes mekoymesh ol Moshe Rabbeinu. Each of these, for one period, just one story, stepped into the shoes of Moshe Rabbeinu. They role-played as Rebbe, very briefly, but for a short, brief, shining moment, they were the Moshe Rabbeinu.
What incident did Elazar step into?
I'll tell you, Elazar. When the Moshe Rabbeinu had the soldiers came home from Midian, the final battle before Moshe's passing, and Moshe Rabbeinu was angry. And because he was angry, the halacha suddenly was clouded over before him. And these are known as Hichas Giulei Nachrim. When you have kitchenware, flatware, or cookware, which is from non-kosher food, you have to kosher it. Moshe Rabbeinu forgot. Why? Because he got angry. Bolakal Kas, said our sages, Bolakal Tos. He became angry, he made a mistake. And so what happened was that at that moment, Elazar had to step in. And Elazar took the reins. Moshe Rabbeinu was lost. Elazar, for that moment, was like Moshe Rabbeinu. He set the tone. Till today.
Is that story depicted in the Torah?
It sure is. In great detail. Halachas Elu Nisalmu Mimenu Beis Hashar. At that moment, it was like Moses checked out. Moses wasn't Moses then. Who was the Moses then? For that moment, it was Elazar. And Pinchas, As you all remember, Harig Zimri b'shlichus shel Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was there, and he said, "Nisal men halacha, the halacha of Kanayim Pagim Bay, the zealots have to strike." Moshe Rabbeinu lost himself. Oh, at that moment, Pinchas jumped in. So, because how did Pinchas become Pinchas? Because he had a mother who was a special lady, because she was a Bnei Putil. How did Elazar become Elazar? Because she had a special mother. How do we know that? Because we look at Elisheva, the daughter of Aminadav, Achais Nachshon. Incidentally, our sages tell us that if you, before you get married, you should look also at the brothers. Because it's Reiv Bonin Deim La'achei, most children will look like the mother's brothers. And since we have the mother's brother here is Nachshon mentioned, so we know how did Elazar become Elazar? Because he had a father like Aaron, because he had a mother like Elisheva, who was a daughter of Aminadav, and because she was a sister of Nachshon. So now this fills in the background. Who made Moses? The answer is Amram and Yocheved. This is why we revere the Rebbe's parents so much. It's not a question of lineage. It's not a question of pedigree. The Rebbe is not a Rebbe because he was a great-grandson of the Tzemach Tzedek. The Rebbe is not a Rebbe because he's a son-in-law of the previous Rebbe. The Rebbe was a Rebbe because he's a Rebbe. And who raised this amazing human being? Who raised this millennial Tzedek? The answer is his parents. And that's why we revere them. And that idea is as old as the Bible, the scripture itself. And with this, we conclude.